Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text number 24. Yayangana darshanta kumara lila. Antaraje taravala pragrihita prachai. Vatsaitas tata ibhav dukrish yamano. Prekshantya ujita griha jagrishur hasantya. Yahi, when angana darshantya, visible only to the ladies within the house. Kumara lilao, the pastimes Sri Krishna and Balaram exhibited as children. Antak vrajay, within the inside of Raj and the house of Nanda Maharaj. Tat, at that time, Abala, all the ladies, Pragrihita Puchai, the end of their tails having been caught by Krishna and Balaram. But sai, by the calves, itak tata, here and there, ubao, both Krishna and Balaram, anakrishna manao, being dragged, prakshantya, seeing such things, ujhita, giving up, Griha, their household affairs. Jagrishu, enjoyed very much. Hasantya, while laughing. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Within the house of Nanda Maharaj, the coward ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Ram and Krishna. The babies would catch the ends of the calves' tails, and the calves would drag them here and there. When the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household affairs and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. Purport. While crawling in curiosity, Krishna Balaram would sometimes catch the ends of the tails of calves. The calves, feeling that someone had caught them, began to flee here and there, and the babies would hold on very tightly, being afraid of how the calves were moving. The calves, seeing that the babies were holding them tightly, would also become afraid. When the ladies would come to rescue the babies and gladly laugh, this was their enjoyment. You don't see very many babies doing that nowadays. Text 25. When Mother Jasoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth such as monkeys, dogs and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they're always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipped, equipoised, in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of eternal affection. But this was aroused within their minds. Purport. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Samhita as Ananda Maya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, and there is crying, their other feelings similar to those in the material world, but because the reality of these feelings is in this transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Jasoda and Rohini enjoy them transcendentally. Urgamalamatakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Arviyam Chidam Siyasya Poranani Yas Tvam Vedas Avedavit. That there's a banyan tree, and it has its root upward, and its branches are down, and the hymns of the Vedic leaves, that one who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. In other words, the material world in which we're existing in right now is a reflection of the actual world. And although we're imagining, the example is used that if you go to the bank of a river and you see a tree reflected in the water, it's actually not the real tree, it's just a reflection of the tree. And in the reflected tree, the branches appear to be going down and the roots seem to be going up. But in the real tree, the branches go up and the roots go down. Similarly, this world that we're living in is just an imitation, as it says here, of the real world, the spiritual world. And as we have forms here, as we have activities here, as we have feelings here, and although we take them extremely seriously as what we think is reality, but actually they're not. They're only reflections of the real world. What we think is going on is actually not going on because we're not aware of reality. Just like if you see a snake and someone says, there is a snake, and someone else says, in the darkness, I should say, in the darkness you may see a snake and become afraid. But when the light comes on, then you notice it wasn't a snake, it was actually a rope. So similarly, we're thinking that this material world is like a snake, and when the reality comes on, we'll see it was never a snake, it was just a rope. But because we're emotionally attached to our existence here, therefore the emotions that arise, we take very seriously. Although they're not based upon reality, they're based upon a illusion. Just like at night you may be dreaming that you're being bitten by a tiger. Your friend may come in your dream and kick the tiger to no avail. But if someone comes along and wakes you up, then you realize there was no tiger. You weren't being bitten. It was all within your imagination. Similarly, we're all eternal spiritual beings. The material world has no effect on any of us. We're transcendent, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, anadidvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikondiya nakaroti nanalipyate. That those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. In spite of contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. In other words, we're all transcendental. There's nothing to be afraid of. The only thing to be afraid of is staying in the material world in ignorance. Why should we be afraid of it? Because nothing really happens to us. But still, if we're going to be eternal, it's better off not to be eternal in hell. To eternally suffer in hell is not a good idea. If we're going to be eternal, we might as well take advantage of it and eternally be blissful. It's much more positive and productive also. So how to do that? That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. That's what our literature is. And it's described in different ways. For instance, in the sixth chapter, for the process of Astanga Yoga is described. That, how does it start? That state of perfection is called trancer samadhi. One's mind is completely refrained from material sense activities by the practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self of the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in that self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys oneself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. Upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain. This is indeed actual freedom from all material miseries arising from contact, from material contact. Yatro paramite chitam nirudo yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam atma pashanatmini tushati sukham yandikam yatyad buddhi grayam atindriyam vediyatrana chayvayam stitam chalati tatvataha yam lava chapalam lavam manite nadikam data yasmin sitana dukena grunapi vichalyate tam vidya dukasam yogam viyogam yogasam gitaha. So again, it starts out with yatro paramite chitam. That we have, within our free will, we have consciousness, chitam. We have intelligence, and we have a mind. Yatro paramite chitam, nirudam yoga sevaya. But if we occupy it in yoga, yoga means to connect it with Krishna. Yoga is not only putting your foot behind your neck. Real yoga is to think about Krishna. That's the whole aim of yoga. It goes from yama niyama asana, pranayama pratyahara, dharana dhyana, and samadhi. The whole aim is samadhi, to be absorbed in thinking about Krishna. And that's possible by withdrawing the mind from other activities and trying to focus it upon Krishna. Yatro paramite chitam nirudo yoga sevaya. That's called yoga seva. Yatro paramite chitam nirudo yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam atman pashati tushati. In order to see the self within our heart. Now we can see so many things within our heart. Whatever we want we can imagine and see. But that's just our conditioning. In other words, people want to see in their heart what they have a taste for. Whatever they like, whatever they're attracted to. Even if maybe they went to see a horror movie. So they're attracted to it, and that's what they remember. Matter of fact, if we watch movies, whatever movie, it's very hard to forget them. As soon as you see a movie, it just implants itself in the mind. And we can see it, depending on the movie, vividly. Like watching a movie. So similarly, if we implant Krishna's pastimes within our mind, then it will be just like watching a movie. That's why they always put out these movies about Krishna. They're not quite as good as the actual seeing Krishna within the heart. Anyhow, some of them are quite good, and they help us remember Krishna. But actually, the first thing we do is have to learn how to hear, because Krishna is transcendental. And therefore, unless we learn how to hear submissively, then there's no question of Krishna appearing within the mind, because he only appears within the mind of a submissive devotee. We can't challenge Krishna and expect that Krishna is going to reveal himself to us. Unless you're a demon. Unless you want to fight with Krishna, unless you want to be a Hiranyakashipu, and even that takes a lot of, because most of us, if we fell from Vaikuntha, we probably weren't gatekeepers in Vaikuntha and got cursed by the Kumaras. In any case, if you want to really become a big demon, it takes a lot of lifetimes practicing demoniac activities. And then finally, when you become qualified, then Krishna might come to kill you. But that's pretty rare. Probably not worth the effort. But to see Krishna in the heart means that we begin with a submissive spirit. Submissive usually to Krishna's representatives, because Krishna on the altar or Krishna in the pictures doesn't usually talk to an ordinary person and tell us to do anything. So whatever we do, it appears that Krishna is pleased by it because he's always smiling. Prabhupada didn't agree with that. When he came to one temple and he saw that they were offering the deities old flowers, Prabhupada became very upset. He said, because he knew in India they have these, if you ever, has anyone been to India here? If you go to some temples, they have pujari. First of all, the temples usually look quite like they need a little dusting off or renovation. But then the pujari has some deities in the back there. You can hardly see them in the darkness. And then he brings the deities out and asks for some dakshin. The deities are usually not so, in many temples, except now they have nice deity worship in many temples in India because of ISKCON. Because they've noticed when they come to the ISKCON temple, the donation box is full of rupees. So therefore they adopted the, if ISKCON has nice deity worship and the hundi, it's called, the donation box, is full of rupees, so let's improve our deity worship and maybe we'll improve our donation box too. In any case, their idea is, let us show the deity and get some donation so we can live nicely. So that kind of mentality is not exactly in the devotional mentality. And therefore it's not exactly in the submissive mentality. Because if we're submissive, then Krishna might reveal himself to us. Which means that we have to do things nicely for Krishna. We can't be submissive by simply looking at the pictures or hearing whatever from Krishna. That submission comes about by actually following Krishna's instructions. And to follow Krishna's instructions, we have to follow Krishna's devotees' instructions. As confirmed by the scripture, because we don't know if what the devotees are telling us are actually Krishna's instructions, unless they're the same as Krishna's instructions in his books, in these books, as Krishna spoke them. Then there is a question of being submissive to those instructions. We have to follow them. And the proof is in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks the whole Bhagavad Gita, and at the end he asks Arjuna, are you prepared to, have you listened attentively? Are the illusions now dispelled? Are you prepared to act according to my instructions? And Arjuna says, yes. Nashta moha smritira labdha. My illusions are spelled. I've regained my memory by your mercy and am now prepared to act according to your instructions. And then Arjuna, of course, fought in the battlefield Kurukshetra on behalf of Krishna's purpose. So similarly, our submission will be shown by our acting upon whatever we can understand Krishna wants us to do and doing, trying to do that. And then if it's right, if we're doing the right thing, then Krishna will be very pleased. And if we're not exactly doing the right thing, Krishna will help us also by trying to enlighten us with what he actually wants. But the sincerity is to try to hear from Krishna submissively, try to understand what he's saying, what his representatives are saying, and then to the best of our ability put into practice. It's not expected that immediately we'll get everything perfectly. Just like a baby when it's trying to walk, it's not expected that immediately it's going to jump up and dance when it's 6 months old. Just like we have so many babies crawling around here all the time. So this is a point, and we can see some of them, it takes them some time to get up and start walking. What to speak of dancing. And usually by the time they get old enough to dance, they're never in the temple anymore. they're out playing somewhere. Anyhow, that's another thing. Still, we have to expect it's going to take some time by practice that we're going to be able to be qualified so that Krishna appears within our heart and we actually feel like dancing. Of course, Prabhupada said if you don't feel like dancing, if you simply dance, then Krishna will be merciful. And he'll help you feel like dancing. But by the submissive spirit, then we can, if we think about Krishna in that submissive spirit of trying to please him, then we can actually feel Krishna's presence. It's the feeling that we're trying to cultivate of trying to please Krishna that will allow us to become Krishna conscious. And if we don't have that feeling, we can do so many things But it just remains external. So how to practice that feeling? That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Yatra paramite chitam niruda yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanam pashati tushyate. And when we have that feeling and we become a little aware of Krishna, then we feel satisfied. Satisfied because we realize we're actually eternal. That we're actually going back to the spirit. There is a spiritual world. There's a spiritual platform of consciousness. And that's our destiny. And therefore one feels satisfied that one is on the right path. Otherwise, everyone is bewildered. They don't know what's going to be the result of their work. They don't know where they're going at the time of death. They have no idea. Some people have some faith, but it's not perfect, fixed faith. Pashanabhi tushti sukama yandikan yattat buddhi grayam atendriyam yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashanabhi tushti sukama yandikam yattat buddhi grayam atendriyam sitam chalati tatvataha yam lavlap chapalam lavam manite nadikam tata yasmin sito nagrukena grunapi vichalyate. And when he sees the self within himself, he experiences unlimited transcendental bliss. In other words, the yogis who spent thousands of years trying to concentrate their minds upon Krishna, the more they become conscious of Krishna, the more they enter into a trance of ecstasy. They're not just searching after something useless, they're actually searching after bliss. Now, of course, we're not yogis, but yogis have to be submissive to their guru. They have to go through strenuous training for many, many births. And learn submissiveness so that gradually they go from the different levels of Ashtanga Yoga. But we ourselves should know, first of all, we have to learn submissiveness. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And we don't want to spend thousands of births trying to perfect our lives in Ashtanga Yoga. Then Krishna says, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena. So become submissive, Pariprashnena. And the Pariprashnena, then inquire. A submissive person can inquire. Why? Because he's ready to render service. Otherwise, the inquiries are useless. Find out where the jiva came from. So after you find out where the jiva came from, what are you going to do with it? How is it going to help one's devotional service? So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Once you not only hear submissively, but once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So submission is there, but we have to be inquisitive about what the highest goal of life is, and then try to follow those instructions that we receive from the proper source. Otherwise, most people are completely wasting their time. They don't even know what their time is meant for. But even as devotees, we have to know what our time is meant for. And it's meant to learn submission, so therefore submission requires, first of all, it requires some intelligence. Who to be submissive to? How to discriminate between submission that will help progress us and submission that will disappoint us. So that requires, first of all, to read Prabhupada's books, read these scriptures, and then practice them under the guidance of the devotees, all the devotees. And practice them, see what the devotees are telling us through the eyes of scripture. Unless we develop the eyes of the scriptures, then we're just taking a chance. Of course, it's very difficult to not take a chance. We have to have some faith, but at the same time we have to cultivate the knowledge of the scriptures and see through them and see what the devotees are telling us, even those we have faith in, what they're telling us through the eyes of scripture, so that we actually develop some real faith and then some real conviction so we can actually surrender. Now, why do we surrender to scripture? Because if we follow, we get the result. If we don't get a result, then we don't develop faith. And the result is, if we don't realize we're eternal, if we don't realize how everyone and everything is connected to Krishna, we don't become blissful in love with Krishna and everyone and everything, then we haven't gotten the result, and therefore faith won't develop. Of course, the result doesn't come all at once, but even a little bit of positive feelings towards the devotees and everyone and everything connected with Krishna, a little bit of detachment from our normal attachments, a little bit of awareness, a little bit of appreciation for how everyone and everything is connected to Krishna, a little bit of advancement, then a little bit of faith develops. Then faith develops. And as faith develops, we become more clear who to be submissive to and how to be submissive. So we can develop more faith, more experience, actually. More experience in Krishna consciousness. Because without experience, faith simply remains on a more mental platform than a realized platform. So that's the process. Either Ashtanga Yoga, they follow for thousands of births, this process of concentrating the mind of Krishna through asana, through yama, niyama, asana, pratyahara, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. But we don't have time for that. But we have to take the time to study Prabhupada's books, see through them, apply them to the best of our ability, and expect Krishna's mercy so that we get some experience, and that experience will lead us, encourage us further. If we went through that process by studying Prabhupada's books and by practicing it in the association of devotees, then that will encourage us to read Prabhupada's books more, associate with devotees and render more service, according to those, what the instructions are. And that will bring us to higher and higher levels of experience, which will encourage us more and more, until one day we'll see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, we'll always be in bliss, because we'll always be doing everything out of love for Krishna and his devotees. And we'll become detached from everything that, all our misconceptions, previous misconceptions that drew our minds away from Krishna. So that will come one day spontaneously, and then we'll even realize who we actually are, other than this misconceptions who we think we are now. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
If we come to God, lahko še enkrat ponoviš do drug del. Se pravi, če pridemo do Boga.
Jaz vem, da živimo v iluziji.
I know that we live in illusion.
To da je vse iluzija. Ampak mene zanima,
but I'm interested in
Krishna, do Boga.
If we come to Krishna, to God.
Ali je dovolj, da recimo jaz molim in berem knjige?
Is it enough if I pray and read books about Krishna?
Knjige.
Knjige.
Ob Krishna. Yeah. Okay.
To me zanima, ali je tudi ta pot, da lažje pridem do Krishna? Recimo, da se ukvarjaš z jogo, da na ta način pridem.
If I come to God, closer to God, if I pray to God, to Krishna, and if I read books about Krishna, or if this
that will help.
No you need to practice.
What kind of yoga are you talking about?
Kakšna yoga?
No, hearing about Krishna, praying to Krishna, that's yoga. Yoga means to connect ourselves with Krishna. Now if you do exercise, you probably won't connect yourself with Krishna very much. You'll connect yourself with your body, which is good for your health, it won't be good for your necessarily productive spiritually. But a little health is good too. One less thing to worry about.
Thank you.
Anything else? Bhagavad Dharma.
Hare Krishna. It is to be
to be able to in every moment to remember that we are submissive, that we are servant of Krishna. Is this necessary to have this practical experience that we are servant?
I think we have to serve.
Yes.
That's the important thing, is to serve.
But often we forget our position.
Yes, and Maya comes. Then we serve Maya, and she reminds us. Maya is also she's also, another name for Maya is mercy. So when we forget, she slaps us down. Krishna Bhaya Mukha Bhoga Vanchatari Nikatasta Tare Japatiyadari. So as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya will slap us to remind us. So we have a very good friend right with us. She's right next to us, always willing to slap us if we forget Krishna.
We can serve in all places or time, all circumstances. We need to realize practically that we are servant, or just...
Well, to come to that perfection, you have to realize Krishna. And we realize Krishna, the only way of doing it is to realize we're constantly practicing serving Krishna and his devotees. Then Krishna will reveal himself, and then we'll realize who we are. We'll realize we're Krishna's eternal servant. And then we'll also realize that Krishna is the servant of his servants also. Very sweet. The more we become Krishna's servant, the more he serves us also.
Hare Krishna.
It's a reciprocation. Anything else? Well, did you have a question? No. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.